Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and once again, back-to-back shows, I got my favorite co-host. Who's my favorite co-host?
Me, it's Will.
Will. All right, so it's Tate and Will again here, and it is Christmas in July again. Normally, it's International Fight Week that I get all excited about. But this year, Christmas has been delayed a little bit, and it's been moved to UFC 214.
Ooh.
All right, so we're going to kick off. This is going to be our UFC 214 preview. This is the biggest card of the year. And, there won't be another card bigger than this all year. Do you agree?
I think there's another card. It's boxing card, though.
Oh, I'm talking UFC event. I'm not talking about, you know.
Hey, you know, if Conor McGregor comes back and he does a little something in Russia with somebody else, there might be a big card there.
That would be a big card. The whole, when what he's talking about is the fact that could be that, Conor has said once he comes back and after he beats Mayweather that he wants to go to Russia and fight Khabib. And I'd be all excited for that one. I think that's a bad matchup, but, you know.
This card is stacked.
But let's go back to 214, because if you were looking at UFC 214, it would be the ultimate dessert. It would be, in my eyes, it's a layer of cheesecake with, let's say, donuts. Mm. I don't know, some. Oh, take your four or five favorite desserts and just stack them on top of each other. Mm. Throw some chocolate sauce, and that's. I mean, it's that sweet. And the card is just loaded. Now I know Will over here. He's a pretty clean eater, so. Talking about desserts stacked on the top of desserts with another side order of desserts isn't really his thing.
I could indulge.
It's kind of like the Rock's the cheat day. If you ever look online and ever see the Rock's
man,
cheat day.
He's crazy.
four double dough pizzas is to start. That's to start off. Well, this is my ultimate cheat day because UFC 214. It starts off with Cormier Jones as the main event. The co-main event, which should be its own pay-per-view, is Woodley Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maya. I would buy that pay-per-view in a heartbeat. My dream matchup is the next one. I'm a huge Invicta fan, and you have the Invicta flyweight champion, right?
Featherweight
champion. Sorry. Invicta featherweight champion versus the Invicta bantamweight champion. Both of these guys are long-standing champions in Invicta. They're actually fighting for the featherweight title of the UFC. You got Cyborg versus Tonya Evinger. You have Robbie Lawler, who is coming back We haven't seen Robbie since he lost the title, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, to Woodley.
To the Tyron Woodley. And he's fighting Cowboy Cerrone. Cowboy, that guy, he just fights just...
just because, for free.
Yeah, it's like he goes into a bar and he gets in a fight just because Achy Breaky Heart's on. You know, it's one of those things. And I do hate Achy Breaky Heart, the song. I'm yeah. sorry. And then you have Jimmy Manoa, who a lot of people thought he would be the next person that Daniel Cormier would be fighting. He's fighting on the card. So you have five really great fights. And then you got a number of guys that I'm looking forward to seeing, like Aljamain Sterling and those guys. This card is just stacked from head to toe. And so we're going to break down these fights, and we're going to start with the main event. And the main event is Daniel DC Cormier versus John Bones Jones. And, you know, to prepare for this fight, I went back and I watched this fight again. And so just to see how the first one broke down. And you came in right around the third round, yes. So, how do you see this, and for those who may be living under a rock and doesn't know this, the first one, John Jones won a unanimous decision. Cormier actually only won one round, and that was the second round. And that was a close round itself. How do you see this fight stacking up?
Well, there's a lot of variables to take into account. DC's been pretty active in his last few fights since he last fought John Jones. John Jones has taken a hiatus of some sort.
He's been on sabbatical.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's been. He was like, was he like on safari?
I don't know. I think he was in some elementary schools. He's chatting with some kids for some reason.
Yeah, I think, John Jones has been his own worst enemy. He's gotten in quite a bit of trouble a few different times. He's gotten stripped from the title. And he has in, we almost skipped right over, you know, he ended up testing positive because he was taking a... how do you say that? A sexual enhancement pill, right? That would be right the way to say it, right?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay. So Daniel Cormier and John Jones, they've been scheduled to fight five times. They've only fought once. This one's going to happen. Both of these guys I was looking at them at the press conference. Both of these guys are just...
they're ready. Jacked. They're ready.
Yes. So give me the breakdown. How do you see this fight going? And I want to know, at the end of your breakdown, I want to know who you're taking to win.
All right. So what I really liked after watching that fight with you, the first fight, I liked DC's game plan. I liked what he did. I liked how he tried to pressure John Jones, and he tried to implement his game plan by just putting to Jones' face. And the issue that I had towards the end of it is when I started watching, DC was running out of gas. He didn't have anybody to push him in his camp. Kane was injured their first time. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. And on John Jones' side, I really like what he does. I mean, he is one of the best fighters of all time. But the variable that I want to consider him coming back with is... he hasn't fought in a long time, and he's been through a lot. He's run through all these different emotions, and I want to see where his head's at, and it seems like it's okay leading up to this and all the interviews and the press conferences. Now, in order for DC to win, he's going to have to apply more pressure than he had the first time they fought. The issue with that is, in his last few fights against Alexander Gustafsson and who else did he fight?
Rumble Johnson.
He's taking a lot of damage, and the miles have been adding up. He's getting older. He's already a really old fighter. He's in his late 30s, if I'm
correct. Think he's 40.
He's already 40.
I think he is 40.
No, he's actually 38, and Jon Jones is 30 now.
And I gotta look that one up.
I'm pretty sure. I think I saw that.
Okay, I'm going to trust you on that one. I don't know why I was thinking he was 40. You know what? I'm going to call you. He's 40. How many years ago has it been since they fought?
Two?
No, it's been longer than that.
I think it's been two.
Because 2 years ago, last year was US 200. Has it been 2 years? So it's 2 years. He's about 48. He's 48. You're right.
48.
I mean 38.
he's a Dan name. Henderson. Fedor.
Fedor is 88.
In fight years, definitely.
Yes. Well, I think he's 38. Okay. So.
Now he's going to have to bring the pressure. He's going to have to do it all. But Father Time is undefeated. With that said, ring rust is real in a lot of cases, but at the end of the day, I'm rooting for DC, but I just don't see if he can pull it out.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Okay, you're taking Jon Jones. You're
taking Jon Jones by either a late stoppage or a decision.
Okay, when I go back and I look at this fight, the first thing I see is Cormier and Jones, the first fight. Cormier went with the approach of he wanted this fight to be in a phone booth. He pressured Jones. He kept them in very close range of each other. And Jon Jones was totally okay with fighting him toe-to-toe and just having a slugfest. They didn't back up. They were always within range, always. And in the end, Cormier ran out of gas. But the things that Cormier was able to do, one, he was able to land shots. The question I have is, if Cormier picks up the pressure and gets more active, will he burn out sooner? That's the first question I have. The second thing, the one thing that I look at this and I say, the fight for Cormier, the best he can hope for is that the fight works out exactly the way it went the last time. Jon Jones is willing to stand toe-to-toe with him. They wrestle with him, dirty box with him, and Cormier throws more combinations, throws more uppercuts. The uppercut was there for Cormier. The difference is I don't see anything different that Cormier can do except for maybe this time he lands a few more shots and maybe he rocks Jones. But I don't think there's much more he can do. But on the other side, when I look at Jones could fight him exactly the same way he fought him before, where they're toe-to-toe, they're literally shoulder-to-shoulder as they're fighting. He could fight that way, and he could feel comfortable fighting that way because he's won that way 4-1. He won that way. But when I go back and I look at that fight, Jones could change it up completely on him because the one thing Jones didn't do the first fight is fight at distance. First, when you look at the height, he has a 5-inch height difference and a 12-inch reach difference. He has a 6-inch leg difference in length. John Jones could literally fight this fight at range, keep Cormier at distance, and really pot shot him. And that's something that I don't think Cormier or anyone's thought about, because when you go back and you watch this fight, they're in a phone booth and Cormier can say, man, I missed out on some opportunities because I was able to land and things like that. John Jones' pride and ego allowed him to sit right in the middle, toe to toe. What happens if John Jones just says, you know what? I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to fight a distance. I'm going to use my leg kicks, because those oblique kicks were just tough to deal with. So he uses his leg reach. He uses his height. He uses his arm reach to keep Cormier at bay. That's a totally different fight. Jones has multiple ways to approach Cormier, where Cormier has, the only thing he can do is fight exactly the way he fought before, just kick up the effort even more, which then he stands a chance of burning out even sooner. I don't like this. The only thing I like for Cormier, and I'm a big fan of Cormier, I personally think he's the second greatest light heavyweight fighter in history. Unfortunately, he's fighting the greatest light heavyweight fighter in history. The only thing I like for Daniel Cormier is he's been active. John Jones has not been active over the last 3-4 years. Ring rust. That's the one thing that gives Cormier a shot. Other than that, I still see it going, you know, John Jones winning 3-1 again. I mean, 4-1 or 3-2. But I still got John Jones winning this fight unless he can be able to land a lucky shot.
Yeah, I see something similar in that. I mean, something that doesn't get talked about a lot in their first fight was the amount of body work that John Jones did to DC. That's how he got DC tired. DC, in his previous fights, has shown that he has a really good gas tank. He can fight for a long period of time. But against John Jones, with all those elbows, those kicks, those
I was just holding to say that. I was going to say, John Jones landed elbows that were just vicious elbows in close, dirty boxing, but he was landing mean. There was one point he landed 3 elbows in a row because they were fighting in that phone booth type style. You know, and then he out-wrestled Cormier. You know, I think it's going to be a very tough situation for Daniel Cormier.
Something that's going to be interesting to watch out for is with these new rules in effect, if John Jones wants to keep his distance, wants to play that long range game that he's known for in his previous fights, he can't stick out his fingers anymore. Right. He has to keep them curled in or in a fist because, I mean, there's been a lot of eye pokes recently. John Jones is a pretty controversial fighter, and in the past, he's been known to poke people in the eyes just by sticking out his fingers, and he's even admitted that he does that, but nobody calls him out for it, and they may take points away from that, and that if this is a close fight, this could play a huge factor in the scoring.
I agree. You know, one of the things when I was watching the second fight, I was trying to look for things that Cormier could do differently. As we mentioned before, he has to throw a lot more uppercuts because the uppercut was there and he landed a few of them, but he has to throw a lot more. Two, he has to kick up the pace, but he has to be able to have the stamina to handle that rough, faster pace, throwing more combinations. One of the things that he never did was at close range, I think he needs to attack John's legs a lot more. There was very few leg kicks. He landed one solid leg kick on Jones that whole fight. Early on, I think the key is to get in close and just keep on. John has those long legs. Punish him with them. That's a large target. I think you have to keep attacking those legs. which will make it a little easier for him to get a takedown, because Cormier had no shot at really getting a real takedown until that very last round where he gave every ounce of energy he had just to say, I took John Jones down, which it was a moral victory that was nothing in my book.
Yeah, not only that, he could do a lot more body work than he did in the first fight. And if he's able to do that, it'll get Jones a little bit distracted because, let's be honest, DC was highly emotional in their first fight.
Yes.
He was going for the headhunt, and it was similar to when TJ Dillashaw fought Dominic Cruz. All he's doing is looking to knock him out. He's not focusing on the real game plan of attacking the rest of the body, seeing the openings there. And I think that's something he can definitely improve on, and it'll distract Jones. It'll give him something more to think about, and when you're thinking in a fight, you're more susceptible to getting hit.
All right, so concluding this, I have John Jones winning a unanimous decision over Daniel Cormier. And I love Cormier, and I love Jones, but I'm taking John Jones to win, and you concur. Is that correct?
I concur. I could see it being stopped in Jones' favor.
I don't know. I think you'd pretty much have to kill Cormier before you stop him.
He might.
Now, but here's the thing, though. I will agree on this. Cormier wants this so bad, and he's done a good job, and he's won the mind game. That was one of the things that shocked me, is how he, when I watched the press conference, he's the one that looks like he won the first fight. Jones is the one that looks like he lost the first fight. He's angry. He's emotional, which is kind of weird to see the winner feel that way. You know, but one of the things that could be reversed, if I can understand how you could see a stoppage. Let's say Cormier comes out the first two rounds and he tries to implement his game plan, and Jones just stuffs it. I could see Cormier getting flustered fast. You know, right now I give Cormier the mental advantage, but I think that could shift super fast, especially if John Jones is taking it to him.
Yeah, definitely.
And at that point, if DC breaks down mentally, Jones will stop him.
Yeah, he slowly whittled at him in the first fight, and we saw some of the fight go out of DC to the point that he just wanted to take him down.
Yeah, because I thought he mentally beat. He was before Cormier. Cormier, it was a close fight the first three rounds. Cormier clearly lost two of the three rounds, but he was still in it. He got a little gas, but also I think in the fourth and fifth round, I thought he was mentally beaten as well.
Yeah, at the end of the fourth round, when Jones put his hand on top of DC's head, I mean, that was mental warfare right there, and it was extremely effective.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, so that concludes our talk about the main event. And now when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about UFC 214. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.